Now today I want to introduce a series of studies dealing with the cross of Christ. I want to read first of all some verses from the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23. The Gospel according to Luke, chapter 23, and beginning our reading at verse 33. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And they parted his raiment and cast lots. And the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided him, saying, He saved others. Let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. And the soldiers also mocked him, coming to him and offering him vinegar, and saying, If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. And a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek and Latin and Hebrew, This is the king of the Jews. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, If thou be Christ, save thyself and us. But the other answering rebuked him, saying, Dost not thou fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man had done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, Verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And it was about the sixth hour, there was a darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour, and the sun was darkened, and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, he gave up the ghost. Now when the centurion saw what was done, he glorified God, saying, Certainly, this was a righteous man. And all the people that came together to that sight, beholding the things which were done, smote their breasts and returned. And all his acquaintance and the women that followed him from Galilee stood afar off, beholding these things. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of these verses. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we ask thee now to take the words that have been read, these sacred words, these inspired words, and seal them home to every heart of all the listeners. Grant that someone today may be comforted, and that some unsaved one will come to the point where they'll trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Take glory to thine own name, exalt thy Son, save some precious soul. For his own name's sake we ask it. Amen. Now, in turning to verses like what I have read from the Gospel according to Luke, and here we have the record of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ. When we read words like these, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. I would claim for this, it is the greatest event in history. I wonder, when you have sung that hymn, or perhaps when you've listened to it being sung, what are your thoughts concerning the death of Christ on Calvary's cross? When I survey the wondrous cross, on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches gain I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride. Forbid it, Lord, that I should boast, save in the cross of Christ my God. All the vain things that charm me most, I sacrifice them to his blood. See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down, that e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown. Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my heart, my life, my all. I'm sure you've either joined in the singing of that hymn, or you've listened to it being rendered. I ask you again, what are your thoughts concerning the Christ who died on Calvary's cross? What are your thoughts concerning this great event, which, again I claim, was the greatest event in history? Now, while reading the Bible account of the crucifixion of Christ, we are impressed, no doubt, with a great variety of features and characteristics regarding that event, by which we must come to this definite conclusion that this must have been, and still remains, the greatest event in history. It moved, as it were, not only people on this earth, it had an effect on heaven above, and no doubt a great effect on hell beneath. It is interesting to note the place that has been given to the cross of Christ, for the record declares, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Now, let me remind every one of you at this time, that from the very day that he was born in Bethlehem, it seems to be that hell was moved against him. All the forces of Satan were let loose. Whenever they knew that the Christ was born, they tried to kill him when he was a child. Herod sent his soldiers down to Bethlehem, and there was a massacre of the children from 2 years and under, to try and get this child who had been born. But God was overruling all matters. The child was taken down into Egypt and was preserved there until such times as his enemy was dead, and he was brought back, and he was raised and lived for many years in the little town of Nazareth up in Galilee. There came the time when he entered out into his public ministry. But at that time, when he returned back to his own native town of Nazareth, the place where he was well known, the place where he grew up as a young boy, became a young man, the place where he was known as a carpenter, he went into the synagogue and there delivered a masterpiece of a sermon. But they didn't like his preaching. It cut them too severely right to the conscience. And the people that knew him and lived beside him tried to put him to death. They took him out to the brow of the hill and would have pushed him over some of the rocks there on the hillsides at Nazareth. But he simply moved out of their midst and went from that time away around the northern shores of the Sea of Galilee and made his home at Capernaum. But they tried to kill him by pushing him over the brow of the hill. During the time of his public ministry, when he was down in Jerusalem, some of the people there, some of the religious leaders, didn't like his preaching, and they took stones with them, and they were going to stone him to death, but again they were unable. 3 different ways they tried to put the Lord Jesus Christ to death. They tried to kill him when he was born with the soldier's sword. They tried to push him over the brow of the hill. They tried to stone him to death, and they failed. But now the time has come. When they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. Take note of this, they did not kill him with the sword, nor yet did they push him over the brow of the hill there, nor yet did they stone him to death. Stoning to death was something that was practiced by the Jews. Crucifixion was something that was practiced by the Romans. And now they take him out to Calvary, and there they crucified him. There's a reason for that. But upon examination it will be found that the cross of Christ was given a central place in relation to the world's geography. It was given a central place in relation to the world's history. While it holds a central place in Bible prophecy, and certainly a central place in relation to eternity. So that all God's dealings with the sinful human race are governed and controlled by the work of the cross. Things that took place before the cross, or things that took place since the cross, are all governed by what took place that day when Christ was crucified on Calvary's cross. No wonder Christians sometimes sing, "Sweet the moments, rich in blessing, which before the cross we spend, life and health and peace possessing from the sinner's dying friend. May we still the cross discerning, there for peace and comfort go, there new wonders daily learning, all the depths of mercy know." I want you to take note of this, that it was when they were come to the place called Calvary, they crucified him. He didn't die any other place but there. You know, a lot of people have claimed to be prophets of God. But if a prophet died outside that particular area, then he was a false prophet. Even here in the United States, there were those who claimed to be prophets of God. And their death took place in this country under strange circumstances. These men were false prophets. No prophet would die outside of the promised land. But the world's geography is set in relation to the Middle East. And while men have been scattering and spreading and colonizing to the uttermost parts of the earth, they've gone north, south, east, and west. Isn't it remarkable that during the 20th century, the nations of the world and the leading politicians have been compelled to turn their attention once more to the Middle East, and in particular, to the great city of Jerusalem. It was just outside the city walls of this ancient city, this historic city, that Christ was crucified. Jerusalem is often referred to as the city of peace. That's what its name means. But there's been more wars and fightings around that city than around any other city in the world. It was on the streets of this same city that the message of the cross was first preached. And from there it has spread out to the uttermost parts of the earth. Surely, it is significant that when the Savior died, his cross was uplifted in the very center of the world's geography. You know, when you begin to speak of geography, you take in the different directions. You speak of the north, and the south, and the east, and the west. But remember, all these directions are given in the Bible in relation to that little strip of territory that we call Palestine or the Middle East, the land of Israel. That is the very center of the world's geography. No matter which way you travel, you must come back to that place. Why, it was the very cradle of the human race. It was there the human race began. But not only is the cross of Christ the center of the world's geography, I want to remind you today that the cross of Christ takes the central place in relation to the world's history. See, the world's history has been divided. It has been divided by a person, and that person was the Christ of God, He who died on the cross of Calvary. And He must be recognized as the central figure in all the history of the human race, because the things of time are all referred to in their relation to the time of Christ. Things took place before Christ or after Christ. We speak in terms of B.C. and A.D. Now therefore, if the world's history has been divided by Him, then He is the greatest person the world has ever known. And because He came into the world in order to die on the cross, then we must claim that His death on Calvary is the greatest and most central event in all of the world's history. No person has ever influenced humanity like the Lord Jesus Christ, and no event has ever changed the destinies of men and women like the cross of Christ. No person can ever escape or evade the influence and the issues of Calvary. Somewhere along the road of life, between birth and death, we come face to face with the challenge of the cross and the challenge of the Christ who died on the cross. And from the moment we meet with that challenge, it's from there that we take the road. That's the great divide. We either take to the right or to the left. And again, I repeat, no person can ever escape or evade the influence and the issues of Calvary. The Bible is the most wonderful book that man has ever possessed, and one of its fascinating features is how it can foretell future events hundreds of years before they happen. No human tongue or pen would have dared to make such detailed predictions of the future as are given in the Word of God. It is only God who can foretell events of the future just as easily as He can record those of the past. So we find throughout the prophetic scriptures that mention is made concerning the sufferings of Christ and the glories that should follow. And His death on the cross is given a central place in relation to Bible prophecy. See, His death was foretold. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we have the beginning and germ of all prophecy, where we learn that Christ, as the seed of the woman, would bruise the head of the serpent, but in so doing, His heel would be bruised. Now, this bruising of the heel of the woman's seed is a symbolical reference to the sufferings and death of the Savior, who was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. As prophesied by the prophet Isaiah, 700 years before it happened. Now, David also spoke as a prophet and foretold the death of Christ in these words: "They pierced my hands and my feet." Now, let me remind you of what I said a few minutes ago, that they tried killing Him with the sword, they tried pushing Him over the brow of the hill, they would like to have stoned Him to death, but it didn't happen that way. But when the time came, they took Him to Calvary, they pierced His hands, and they pierced His feet with spikes. Then after He was dead, after He had yielded up the spirit, they pierced His side with a Roman spear, and forthwith came blood and water. Now you see, David had used these words when speaking as a prophet: "They pierced my hands and my feet. And so it was that the crucifixion of Christ was foretold. Then in the prophecy of Zechariah chapter 13 and verse 7, we read, "Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered," so that the prophetic scriptures present the death of Christ in clear terms, as the seed of the woman he would be bruised, as God's perfect servant he would be marred, and as the shepherd he would be smitten. Calvary was no afterthought with God, but it was given a prominent and a central place in relation to Bible prophecy. And these prophecies regarding the sufferings of Christ were all fulfilled when he died on the cross. Now, this unique event of Christ dying on the cross has also been given a central place in relation to eternity. For we should always keep in mind that the history of time is governed by eternity. When the Bible speaks of Christ dying as a lamb, it says he was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world. You see, before ever God laid the foundation of the world, and before ever Adam's clay was fashioned, before ever the conflict began in the Garden of Eden, God knew exactly the end from the beginning, and God had the cure at hand before the disease was manifest. And so it was foreordained from before the foundation of the world that the Lord Jesus Christ would die on Calvary's cross. That's the reason we read in the New Testament, when speaking about our redemption, Peter says, "You are redeemed, not with such corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb slain from before the foundation of the world." Then, when time has ceased to be, and the eternal age has been commenced, the redeemed of all ages will blend their voices together in one harmonious hallelujah chorus, ascribing all the power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing unto the Lamb that was slain, so that as the ages roll along, we shall never forget the cross work of Christ. Upon the cross of Jesus mine eye at times can see the very dying form of one who suffered there for me. And from my smitten heart with tears two wonders I confess, the wonder of his glorious love and my own worthlessness. I take the cross of Jesus for my abiding place. I ask no other sunshine than the sunshine of his face. Content to let the world go by, to know no gain nor loss, my sinful self, my only shame, and my glory, all the cross. May I now ask you to apply the message of the cross in a very practical manner to your soul and to your manner of life. Remembering the words of the Bible where we read, "God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me and I unto the world." You know, we live in a world where Christ was rejected and cast out, and those who follow Christ today must expect to walk the pathway of separation from the ways of the world. You cannot walk hand in hand with Christ, and at the same time be arm in arm with the world that crucified him. But I trust that each one will intelligently and definitely understand in some measure the meaning of the cross and be able to say, in reality, O joyous hour when God to me a vision gave of Calvary. My bonds were loosed, my soul unbound, I sang upon redemption ground.